This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Good morning, Mosaic. It's a good day. It's good to see y'all. And I'm excited because I'm not preaching today. But we are actually very blessed to have one of our other elders. We've called them junior elders before. We're not going to keep calling them that. Soon we will be. This is just a little side note for you guys. Anybody who's a member, we will have a vote coming up soon to vote in two new elders, like full elders. And one of them we're going to get to hear from today. It's Patrick Hagan. Come on up. This guy is awesome. He's a super blessing to myself, to our family, to this church. He's a trustee at Florida Polytechnic University, so that's kind of a big deal. But he's just a big deal, just in himself. So, Patrick, can't wait to hear what God will speak through you.
Thanks, Daniel. I told him not to introduce me as trustee, but sometimes people say, hey, should I call you Trustee Hagan? I'm like, yes, just call me trustee. So thank you for the introduction. I think I know everyone here, but I've been at Mosaic since 2018. Lindsay and I moved to Tallahassee after graduating law school, and we were driving by and I saw this sign. It wasn't like a sign in the sky, but I saw the Mosaic sign. And I said, we should check out that church. And immediately upon walking through these doors, we just felt the welcoming presence of everyone and the Holy Spirit. And we've been here ever since, so. Today, I'm talking about the favor of God. Is that small on your side or is it good? Good, okay. So when I was asked to give the sermon today, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But then a friend in my F3 workout group posted on the page and he asked, seeking open disclosure, I'm pondering some wording from an email that I received from a Christian faith-centered company. I'm specifically interested in your take based on your knowledge and learning of the Bible on the words, quote, trusting God to give us favor every step of the way. And it says, we're trusting God to give us wisdom, clarity, and favor every step of the way. So I did some research into that topic and I responded to him, what is favor? We hear it a lot in the Christian community. I'm like, we're going to put favor on you. You're going to have the favor of God. And I wanted to find out, what is favor? And so I researched it. Is that how favor works? Is favor something that is always in the sense of a blessing? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So what is favor? Through five Bible stories, we're going to identify specific points in time in each of these characters' lives when the Bible references favor. And so let's start with Noah. So Noah's going to be our first Bible character we're going to talk about, how favor preserved him for a generational calling. Then we'll talk about Moses. Favor was rooted in intimacy and intercession. Then we'll talk about Mary. Favor brought honor and hardship. Esther, favor led to influence and obedience led to impact. And last but not least, Joseph. Favor ran through a prison, not just a palace. So let's jump in with Noah. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, don't see it. It's not a great representation of Noah. But I thought this picture of Russell Crowe running amidst a group of people who looks like he's about to be trampled is a great introduction to what a little piece of what favor might have looked like for him. So in Genesis 6:8, ESV, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So what did favor look like for Noah? Genesis 6:8 describes a staggering moral collapse. We think back to when God first looked at Noah and found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man, so the Lord said, I will blot out man. That's Genesis 6:5-7. Then in verse 8, we see the words favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now that word favor in this context introduces a contrast. While the rest of the world was grieving, while the rest of the world grieved God's heart, Noah stood out. He stood out as someone who was close to God, someone that could be worthwhile preserving, not because he was impressive, but because he was righteous, blameless in generation, walked with God. That's verse 9. So in this context, God's favor means obedience in isolation. We think about Noah's life. We think about how isolating it probably was to build an ark when there was never a flood before like this. It means selection for a divine assignment, building the ark, building for decades despite ridicule. It means sustaining grace for radical obedience. What's the implication of this? Noah's favor wasn't primarily about his comfort. It was about his calling. So this is the first example of someone who has favor in God's eyes. Yes, he was preserved. Yes, his family became the roots of the world after this. But it wasn't an easy road. Noah's favor wasn't about his comfort. It was about calling. And he was given an enormous burden because of his relationship with God. Favor made him a vessel. So with Noah, I want you to remember, favor is faithful obedience in a faithless world. So if you're a 1990s kid like me, you've seen The Prince of Egypt. It's the classic picture of the life of Moses. So on the left side, you see the classic picture of Moses parting the Red Sea. But then on the right, the movie just closes with Moses bringing down the tablets. And it looks like it's a great moment. It looks like it's something that is just, oh, this is a great ending to the story. But that was really only the halfway point for Moses, because at this point, he's brought into a situation where he was just with God getting the Ten Commandments, and then he comes back to find the people doing all sorts of wrong. So Moses in Exodus 33:17 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.'" So in this context, where we're jumping into the story, in that picture on the right, Moses had just come down from Mount Sinai. And while he's on Mount Sinai receiving the law, the people create and worship a golden calf. That's Exodus 32. And God is furious. He threatens to withdraw his presence, and he threatens to have only an angel lead them to the promised land. And in other words, you can have the land, but not me. And that's something that Moses is terrified by. He doesn't like the idea of God being away from him. You know, this morning we sang this song, "Show Me Your Glory." You think about when Moses asked the Lord, "Lord, show me your glory." And he gets down and takes his sandals off. This is something that he did not want to happen, for the presence of God to be away from them. Verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." And then in verse 17, we get God's response. "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." So for Moses, favor is presence, not privilege. Someone who, we could look all the way back to the beginning of his life, you see the favor of him being preserved, being saved, put in a basket, sent to the Pharaoh's house. But it's not that type of favor. It's the privilege of being in the presence of God. God says, not to Moses' ambition, but to his longing for intimacy, favor here isn't material blessing or status. It's access to God's presence. 2, favor is deeply relational. "I know you by name" is an affirmation of relationship, of trust, of personal knowledge. In ancient context, to know someone's name was to have relational authority. And 3, leadership. It's being burdened friendship with God. To be in a position that Moses was in, he had to be set apart. He had to be separate. He had to go up on the mountain here in this picture that we're looking at. And he had to come down to see a group of people that he led through the toughest times, only to already abandoning God. And if you know the rest of Moses' story, you know that he didn't ultimately make it into the promised land, but he's someone who always tried his best to walk with God. That Moses here isn't asking for a smoother road. He's asking for companionship on the road. And that's the kind of leadership favor births, not luxury, but inaccessory weight and communal responsibility. So for Moses, I want you to remember, this reframes favor as proximity to God, not promotion from struggle. If you are a Chosen fan, you'll recognize these pictures. This is Mary. In the Christmas special, you see her riding on a horse with next to Joseph, heading into town. And then on the right, you see the opposite side of things. You see her with another disciple looking probably at Jesus about to being crucified. So what did favor mean for Mary? Well, let's jump in. In Luke 1:28, it says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" So Mary is a young, unmarried woman in a small town called Nazareth. You all know the story. She's engaged, but not yet married. No status, no influence, nothing to set her apart in the world's eyes. And then suddenly, without warning, she meets an angel who says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she's startled, and rightly so, because Mary, she's really a nobody at this point, but she's someone who loves God. She loves the Lord. And to a lot of people, they'd look at this and say, "Wow, favor, that means like you're getting to carry Jesus. Like that's amazing." But for her, this is confusion, fear. But then courageous surrender. She responds in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So what does this reveal about favor in Mary's life? Favor means calling with risk. You think about Mary being called favored, but what follows is not a blessing in the traditional sense. She'll be misunderstood, shamed, and forced to flee. She'll raise a son that cannot fully explain and then later watch him be tortured and killed. That's what favor looks like for Mary. God's favor didn't spare her from pain. It invited her into divine purpose. Two, favor is God's presence in the unknown. The Lord is with you is a true blessing here. That's the anchor, not the outcome, not the clarity. Just the presence of God in the middle of the impossible. God's presence in the unknown. And I think that's probably the most significant piece of Mary's life as you think about what did favor look like to her. It is being with Jesus all of his life. Three, favor finds the lowly. God didn't send Gabriel to the palace. God could have picked any vessel. But instead, he sent him to Nazareth. Mary's story reminds us that God's favor doesn't chase resumes or reputations. It rests on those hearts who are aligned with him. So for Mary, I want you to remember, what if favor isn't about being lifted up, but being laid down for something bigger than yourself? Next is Esther. So this is a book that I recently just finished. I don't know if I'd read it all the way through before on my own, but reading about the life of Esther really made me think of her as one of the people I wanted to include in the definition of what is favor and how we can look at her life. So we jump in at Esther 2:17. "The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight, and he made her queen." So if you don't know the book of Esther, Esther is a Jewish orphan living under Persian rule. She'd been raised by her cousin Mordecai and now finds herself swept into a royal beauty contest, essentially. So where we jump in Esther, the king's former wife is someone who makes one wrong decision in the king's eyes, and he essentially just says, "Okay, I'm getting rid of her. Bring me a bunch of beautiful women, and I'm going to have essentially a beauty contest to pick my next wife." And Esther was fortunate enough in this situation, if you want to call it fortunate, to be brought into the king's palace. And it says, "The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight, and he made her queen." Now, this is political favor, if you think about this. But behind the scenes, it's divine positioning. So if you read the book of Esther, you see her being put in a scenario where she has a chance to do something for her people. She's Jewish. A lot of people don't even know that she's Jewish. The king doesn't know. Only Mordecai knows. And she's put into a scenario where another individual, Haman, ends up wanting to kill all the Jews. And although God isn't mentioned here, his fingerprints are everywhere. Let's read the next portion of Esther 4:14. And who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this? So what is favor for Esther? Favor positioned her. Esther didn't seek the throne, but God placed her there. Her beauty opened the door, but God's plan was deeper than appearance. Now, as I mentioned, Esther is put into a position where Mordecai essentially says, okay, you need to stand up for your people. You need to say something to the king. You're put into this position of power. And that's not something she had to do. She didn't have to risk anything. She didn't have to put her neck out for her people. She could have just been the queen and just let happen what happened. Two, favor requires faithfulness. Esther could have stayed silent, but favor without obedience is wasted potential. She prayed, fasted, and approached the king at great personal risk. Three, favor is about timing. When I think about Esther's life, I think a lot of it is about being put in the exact position at the exact time to make a big impact. But without her obedience, nothing would have happened. So it says, Esther was brought into the palace in Esther 2:16 before a crisis unfolded. God got her into position before she even knew what it was for. That's how divine favor often works. Advanced placement for future faithfulness. And so think about today, have you ever been put into a position, whether moving to another city, whether moving to a new job, where you don't really know why? Why, God, why have you put me here? Why am I in this position? Think about the story of Esther and how she was put in a specific place, in a specific time, for a specific purpose. If you've read the book, you know what Esther ultimately did is approach the king and saved countless Jews. So favor opens the door, but obedience walks through it. And sometimes the greatest risk is staying silent when you are placed there to speak. Next, we'll talk about Joseph. Again, if you're a 90s kid, you know this movie, Joseph, King of Dreams. So Joseph's life, you think about him, he's been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused of sexual assault by Potiphar's wife, imprisoned for doing the right thing. And that's someone who is probably one of the best examples I can think about for favor. In Genesis 39:21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So why did I choose this specific time in Joseph's life? You can think of lots of different types of favor for Joseph. We'd love to think of favor as Joseph being the favored child out of all his brothers. He gets a special coat. He gets a Broadway musical named after him. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's a great moment to look, oh man, he was favored. But if you stop the story there, you miss the impact. His brothers were so jealous that Joseph was the favored son that they sell him away into slavery. Then, fast forward, Joseph ends up, telling about dreams in prison. I missed a little part there. Joseph becomes a right-hand man, and then he's accused falsely of some type of sexual harassment or something like that, when he was actually the one who stood up and said, no, I'm not doing that. Then he's put into jail, and then he's raised to a point of influence in jail, and then he's forgotten about for years, and he's finally brought back to interpret the king's dreams. And then a lot of us like to think about favor on that side when we saw that picture right here of on the right of him in Pharaoh's court. That's favor. Oh, he was put into this position of power, but we often forget about all the struggle that's involved with that. So with Joseph, Genesis 39 opens up with Joseph in Potiphar's house, where the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success. Then, as I mentioned, he's thrown into prison. And again, in verse 39:21, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And this is favor in a dungeon, not a throne room. We often want to think about favor putting us into a nice, pleasant place. Maybe like Esther had favor in being in the king's court, but here Joseph is having favor in a prison. So what does the verse show us? It shows us God's favor isn't always evident by circumstance. Now, if we judge Joseph's life by his comfort, we'd assume God had abandoned him multiple times. But scripture insists the opposite. God was with him. That's the favor. Two, God's favor grants entrustment, not escape. I think a lot of times when people ask for me or for anyone to pray for them about, can I have favor in this situation? They're looking for some type of escape. They're looking to get out of a difficult situation. But oftentimes, as we've looked at already in multiple lives of these individuals, they're put into a difficult situation for a difficult purpose where God's entrusted them with something big. Here, Joseph wasn't immediately rescued. Instead, he was entrusted with leadership within the prison. His character and God's presence made him someone others could rely on, even when things looked bleak. And of course, when you fast forward, he was entrusted again with Pharaoh interpreting his dreams and then saving countless lives, including his own brothers who betrayed him. Three, God's favor prepares before it promotes. The prison season for Joseph wasn't wasted. It refined his leadership. It sharpened his administrative skills, and it positioned him to interpret dreams, one of which would open the door to Pharaoh's court. So for Joseph, favor doesn't always remove pain. Sometimes it gives you responsibility in painful places to prepare you for purposeful ones. So let's recap. Starting off with Noah, favor preserved him for a generational calling. It wasn't an easy sense of favor. Yes, he was preserved, his family was preserved, but he was mocked for years while he's building a giant ark. Moses, favor rooted in intimacy and intercession. Again, I love the songs we sang today about just the closeness with God, asking to see his glory. That's someone who Moses was. That's where his heart was. Even though he didn't feel necessarily prepared in a lot of the circumstances of being the guy to lead all of Israel out of there, he's someone who was always close to God. And I think you see that trend as you look at each of these individuals. All of them had hearts that were close to God. Mary. Favor brought honor and hardship. Wow, Mary's probably one of the best examples of this. What an honor to be the individual who brings Christ into this world. But at the same time, how difficult to know that he was going to be crucified and you're raising this young boy for that sole purpose. Esther, favor led to influence, but obedience led to impact. Again, we think about Esther's life. She was put into the palace. She could have stayed there. She didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to be the one to defend her people. She could have stayed silent, but she was obedient, and that led to a generational impact. And then Joseph, probably my favorite example of what favor can look like. It's not favor in the sense of getting the beautiful coat put on you and being the favored child. But it's favor of always being someone who is seeking after God, no matter whether they're in the prison or right next to Pharaoh. So what is favor not? It's not a prosperity gospel. So I hope each of these stories showed you today, favor isn't you're going to be blessed, you're going to have money, you're going to have wealth. A lot of times it could be you might be like Joseph in prison. You might be like Esther having to make a really difficult choice. Favor is having the opportunity because you're so close with God. Again, favor is not favoritism, and it's surely not frictionless. We've seen that in each of these examples today. So as I look back at that initial quote, we're trusting God to give us wisdom, clarity, and favor every step of the way. I don't think that they were wrong. I think it just depends on how the reader interprets that. Are you reading it as we're trusting God to give us an easy road every step of the way? We're trusting God to give us a path that has no friction, no resistance? Or are you trusting God to give you wisdom, clarity, and closeness to God so that you can make the tough decisions? Thank you. And you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Patrick. That was awesome. I got so many notes. That was super challenged. That was like an answer to my prayer this morning when I spent a little time with the Lord this morning. Legit. I won't talk about it right now. Father, thank you for this day together. Thank you for Patrick. Thank you for the word you brought forth. We do pray that it will produce good fruit in our lives. And we give you glory and praise. And bless those traveling, those who aren't here today, part of our body. Protect Pastor Mario as he and give him wisdom at this conference that he's at and he's serving. And we give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.